Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Another blackout. Another video as usual. A scribbled note? Unusual. I sat up from the two-seater, the only furniture apart from a small stool in the living room. What if I told you the blackout I mentioned wasn't one from electricity, neither general? It was my death to life, technically, and I woke up at that time. Blackout over until it wished to show up again.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I glanced at the only wall clock in the room. The time was 9 p.m. The last thing I remembered was coming into the house from my interview at KFC. I squealed, forgetting my predicament for a little while. I got the job to work as a chef. My excitement vanished as my mind finally calculated how long I was gone. It had been 6 hours. I got home by 3 p.m. and woke up in strange clothes and a scribbled suicidal note. I'm going. I want to see my mommy. Which fucking mommy? Yet the handwriting seemed too much like mine. I clicked the play button on the video on the laptop placed on the stool. I don't remember purchasing a laptop. I saw myself doing a silly dance in the center of the room. I scrubbed my hair with my nails and bit back tears, frustrated. When the fuck did I do this? After dancing, I disappeared into the kitchen and stood in front of the camera. I didn't have a fucking camera in the house. I never bought one. I couldn't even tell where the camera was. I stared blankly at the screen. I brought the knife to the veins in my left hand. "You're supposed to be dead," I stared into the camera and said, then shut it off. The video died. I screamed. This was new. I had never tried to hurt myself with death in my eyes. It wasn't the first. Neither was it the second. It wasn't the third either. My blackouts started when I was 7. The day after my mommy died, I saw her hang herself in the center of her room. I watched through the keyhole of her door. I fainted and woke up a couple of days later, but the doctor said I had woken up the previous day and screamed at them to kill me. I didn't remember an ounce of it. The blackout stopped for a while. Those were times when I was distressed with life and felt like dying. But once I got hope of life and a dream job, it returned. I scrambled to the bathroom and washed my face, but not without screaming first at the mirror and crying. I got rid of the filthy clothes and threw them in the dustbin. Fuck the blackouts. I had my dream job, and I wasn't about to let it get ruined. And I sure wasn't willing to die. Not for my mom. I hated her. My first day at work was neither good nor bad. The work was tedious and fun. The hustle and bustle brought some life and color to me, and for the first time in 18 years, I didn't feel dull. I thought it was all good until I woke up 12 hours later in my bed, and in the clothes I threw in the trash can the day before, there was a bloody knife in my right hand and a slight cut on my left arm. Did I say slight? I was fucking bleeding. Did I hurt myself? I ran to the bathroom and covered my wound with tissues. I ran out of the house and took a cab to the hospital. While I was at it, I made a phone call to the police station. I told them I was about to be killed and was on my way. After getting my wound stitched and treated, I took another cab to the police station nearest to my house. "I'm Alicia. I called the station about an hour ago," I told the first police officer I met.
"Oh, come in. Can you please tell us what happened?"
"But I don't know what happened. I was at work by closing time. I visited the toilet and woke up back at home with this cut in my arm and a knife in my hand."
The officer blinked at me twice. My story probably made no sense to him.
"We'll see what happened. Meanwhile, be careful," he said.
I took another cab back home. Time was running out, and I had to prepare for work. That was when I found another scribbled note by my bed. "Shouldn't we go to Mommy now, Alicia? Let's die." I screamed and threw my fists at the wall. I didn't want to die. Who was trying to kill me? I placed a call to the police station again, but I was disregarded. The officer told me I went home by myself, and I looked completely sane according to the CCTVs from KFC to my house. He said I didn't have any intruders, and that a video of me cutting myself was uploaded on my Instagram account that morning. I shivered. After dropping the call, I opened my phone and my Instagram. It was right there. I was in the center of my bed with the same knife I found in my hand. With a swift drag, I placed a cut and smiled into the camera, wincing in pain. I deleted the video and turned off my phone. What was happening to me? What the fuck were these blackouts? Was I going mad? Maybe the police officer was right, and I needed to see a psychiatrist. I shrugged off the feeling and got dressed. Perhaps cutting and frying some chicken would take my mind off work. I was a lady in my prime and was supposed to enjoy life, not be scared of it. I visited a psychiatric hospital by noon. My second day at work was crazy, and I could barely hold a knife. I shook like a chicken when one was placed in front of me. The video of me cutting myself messed with my head so bad that I ran to the hospital. For a while, I believed I was running mad. It didn't take long for the doctor to give his diagnosis. I was so worked up and bent on living that I showed a stranger the videos I saw whenever I woke up.
Ever thought about Botox but worry you'll look, well, overdone? You're not alone. That's exactly why so many people choose Caps. Their approach is all about keeping your expression natural, because Botox shouldn't freeze your face. It should refresh it. At Caps, treatments are performed by licensed nurses known for precise and subtle refined enhancements, all overseen by nationally ranked plastic surgeons. Now's the perfect time to start Botox. Book your first appointment and receive a $50 Caps MedSpa gift card. Schedule today at experiencecaps.com. Caps, where confidence begins.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And told him about when it started, my abusive mother, and how I hated her, but also hated how she died. I showed him photos of the scribbled notes I had on my phone and cried. I don't want to die. It's your personality. Your personality wants to die. Why? I sobbed, not understanding a word. You have a multiple personality disorder. It was created when you watched your mom die. You thought you hated her, but the part of you that loved her ripped out to form a personality of its own. That personality wants to follow your mom to the afterlife. What am I supposed to do? Have a conversation with it and heal. What is that? I said, but didn't hear the response. I blacked out. Again. When I woke up later, I was in a white room, laid on a white mattress. The room was void of any form of furniture, save the mattress. There was no door, or I couldn't see one or a door handle. There was no window, but the room was well ventilated. I had on my body a white gown that seemed impossible to remove. I screamed. Was I being held hostage at an asylum? A few seconds later, the doctor from before came in. I was too flustered to notice the room actually had a door. It was only without a handle. I ran to him, demanding an explanation. "Are you Alicia or Sarah?" he asked, and my blood turned cold. Sarah was my mother's name. "Sarah is my mother's name," I said, and he sighed. He explained to me that my other personality was also named Sarah. Her triggering factor was my joy. Sarah didn't think I deserved peace and was determined to die.
She thought it was wrong that only my mother had to die that day. The doctor said he couldn't let me go for fear that my personality would kill me soon. I sank into the ground and wept. If therapy was needed to live a normal life, I was up for it. I shook my head and he smiled. He walked out and beckoned me to follow him. I did. I was ready to heal. Something cold prickled my skin, causing me to jerk awake. The house was pitch black, and I'd been asleep for only a couple of hours tops. I turned frantically in the pitch darkness, searching for my headlamp, trying to understand why my bed felt so hard against my skin. Nothing. More rock hardness. Panic rising through me now, I jerked up, turning around in what was supposed to be my room. But with the night's unpenetrated darkness, it was impossible to see anything, not even myself. The wind rushed against my skin, in an unapologetic force, pressing against all parts of me. There was something wrong in the way it felt, something akin to me being naked. I was naked. However foggy the vision of me going to bed was, I'd never gone to bed without clothes. I always had at least underwear on. What on God's green earth is going on? Panic surged through me now, my heart beating fast, as though hoping to tear away from its cage. My feet against the cold ground felt naked, like I was outside. How had this happened? Hello? I called out. Is anybody there? Greeted only by the silence that masked the night, I reached forward with both hands, trying to feel anything in front of me, my brain scrambling to get a hold of the situation. My hand touched something soft. It was my sleepwear. I had no idea where I was going or how far I'd walked, only that I needed to get out of here. I needed to find out where I was and how this was happening. I'd never sleepwalked in my life, so even now when all kinds of thoughts from the ordinary to outrageous raced through my mind, it did not cross me that perhaps I was sleepwalking. It had to be a dream anyway, I thought. Something would jump right out of the corner and scare me out of my senses, and I would jerk awake. Then, something did pop out of the corner. The sudden wave of light, followed by an old slow track, probably played in the 90s, popped up in front of me as I moved closer. I jerked back, taken aback. I turned around, taking in my surroundings. I was standing on concrete ground, littered with dirt everywhere as though it had not been used in ages. Behind me was a road I had no recollection of, and across stood what seemed to be the beginning of a huge forest. I turned back to the building that had saved me from the darkness and nearly slammed into its walls. The huge face of the man on the top and the red painting told me that it was the popular KFC dinner. However, there was no KFC written on anywhere. I could not, for the love of me, understand why they would be this unkept. Why the parking lot was not just empty, but felt abandoned. Perhaps it was the night and my sudden appearance here. Again, something prickled my skin, sending a chill through every part of my body. The sudden recollection that I was in my nightwear in the middle of a popular dinner's parking lot caused me to move. If the lights had just turned on, then there must be someone inside. True to my thoughts, a frail-looking man hauled a tray to the booth at the end of the dining. I cast a terror-filled gaze behind me. I could have sworn I saw a set of eyes staring at me from behind, watching me. I turned again, scanning for any sign of life beyond me, but the brightness of the KFC dinner could only go so far. I rushed in, walking briskly to the man, wrapping my hands around my body, trying to shield myself as well as possible. The man turned to me, the tray on his hand clattering to the ground.
Good God, are you okay, dear? He asked.
Got stubborn spots, unwanted hair, or uneven skin? The CAPS Laser Center offers advanced solutions. They offer a full range of advanced laser treatments like Halo and Moxie that help reveal smoother, clearer, healthier-looking skin.
CAPS is one of the top providers in the world for laser treatments, and their expert team delivers personalized care every step of the way. When you book your first laser center appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. So don't wait. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't know, I muttered. I opened my mouth to speak again when he said, "Shh, I'll prepare something for you to eat." With that, he urged me to one of the booths, then made back behind the counter. I stared into the blankness of the night, still searching for a clue as to where I was, wondering if my roommate was perhaps searching for me by now. After a while, the man returned, a tray in hand, dropping it on my table. I had no idea what it was, but it smelled so nice. I dived right in, taking a huge chunk of the chicken. Despite the interesting scent of the food, it tasted unlike any KFC chicken I'd ever eaten. The old man stood there watching me. It was only when I had finished the first bit of food, I opened my eyes to meet his gaze. His lips were curled in a smile that vanished almost instantly. I thought I'd imagined it. I dropped the half-finished piece back onto the plate, cleared my throat.
Sir, can I use your phone? I asked.
Oh dear, I haven't had a phone in a very long time, he said, taking the seat to the other side of the booth.
I stared at him in confusion. It was the 21st century. How could someone possibly not have a phone right now?
Although, just along the road, there's a filling station. I'm sure they have a phone over there, he said.
I rose to my feet instantly, thanking him. As I pulled myself out of the booth, he said something else that made my blood go cold.
Although, the others that went there before paying me never came back, he said.
I blinked. I turned to him slowly, my brain wrapping itself around the last bit of what he just said. When I turned to him, he had the same smile on his face. I turned to the door, the familiar jolt of terror rising through me.
I don't...
He moved. It was so fast, so fluent and gracious for a man that old, that I barely had time to raise my hand to shield my face before the blade sliced through. Pain shot through my hand as I screamed, blood spilling onto the ground. The man launched again towards me, without a second thought. I dashed for the door. I raced as fast as my legs could carry me, not caring that the nightwear could slip off my body, or that I might run head straight to the door if it did not open the other way. I slammed the door, throwing all my weight on it, but the door did not budge. Scrambling for the key or something, I turned to the loud, gawking sound, laughter so horrible my skin crawled. I turned to him, pleading with my gaze, but it seemed to make him relish the moments even more. He walked towards me carelessly. I reached for the door handle, fondling it with my hand. Its handle seemed to move freely. I continued pulling, wishing that it would come off as he charged towards me. I moved, ducking the blow. The blade collided with the glass in a deafening sound, and he turned again, this time gritting his teeth as he charged towards me. I needed to do something. I raced back to my booth, picking the tray just in time to slam against his face. The knife clattered to the ground as he clutched his now bleeding nose. I wasted no time reaching for the knife. In one quick move, I stabbed the knife through his neck, blood splashing everywhere in the dining. I stabbed into him some more. My face was drenched in blood, my heart pounding furiously inside my chest. I rose from the floor, letting the knife fall to the ground as I stumbled towards the telephone on the wall. Pulling the phone out, I called the police. After a while, the police arrived, sirens blaring as they stepped out. The police took me to their office, taking my side of the story. It was not until a few days when the detective followed up.
She tells me that there have been a series of disappearances similar to mine, and however the bodies had not been found. Pictures of dead girls were found in the basement of the eatery, all of whom concluded the case of a serial killer they had been hunting down. I don't want one, I argued with my husband. Come on, you like their chicken, he told me with the same smile that always made my heartbeat skip. We had been married for 5 years, and were trying for a baby for 3 years. I suggested we see a doctor, and having seen one, the results were far from what I was expecting. My husband and I were both infertile, and adoption was probably the best option for us unless the doctor found something that could be of help later. But without it, we were just as hopeless as anything. He thought chicken was going to be good and would help calm me down. I couldn't argue that I loved chicken, but I also couldn't get it through to him that all I needed was rest, to just lay my head down and make every disturbing thought go away. We spent about 5 minutes at KFC before heading back home. He held my hand all the way and said sweet words to me. He was stronger than I was, and I had no doubts about it. But it was also hard to tell when he was sad, because he never let his pain known, and I couldn't help him when I didn't know he needed help. I tried to talk to him multiple times, but he kept saying that he would let me know if he needed help, which I took off my mind with the hope that I could help him somehow, someday. We got back home and realized that the front door was wide open, with a mysterious black van parked on the other side of the road. We can't go in. It might be a trap for us, my husband said. Let's call 911 immediately. He brought out his phone. I wanted to believe he was saying the right thing, but I could not agree. It's our house. It's our responsibility to go in and check. My husband shook his head in disagreement and told me that he didn't feel quite right about it, and the best option was dialing 911. We kept arguing like that for a while, till I heard sirens behind me. He had already dialed it before I got a chance to argue. Great, I said out loud, and got out of the car. The officers asked if we were all right, and after giving them a confirmation that we were, one of them went inside the house while the other cop stayed outside with us, taking note of anything we told them that was unusual. We called their attention to the van that was parked opposite us. The officer rushed towards it with caution, but moments later returned to tell us that it belonged to our new neighbor. That spiked my interest and made me wonder why our house had been invaded. My husband kept patting me and telling me it was going to be fine, which only helped a little. What I really wanted was sleep. The police officers kept searching and didn't find anything, and eventually told us that whoever it was had probably snuck out before we got back home, but the house was good and nothing was stolen. That can't be possible. We saw the door opened. They should have clearly taken something, my husband and I said. You know your house. Let us know if there's anything missing, one of the cops said before they drove off. We were a little bit scared to leave the sitting room after the cops left, but only for a few minutes before I eventually fell asleep in the chair. My husband woke me up a few hours later with a little girl staring at me with her electric blue eyes. She had the most beautiful hair I had ever seen and the prettiest smile. I wanted to run to her, hug her like I would hug my own child, but I was calm and restrained myself. I felt love for her instantly, and I immediately knew that it was the kind of love I wanted to give my kids, assuming I could have them. I found who left the door wide open because we didn't lock it before leaving for the doctor's appointment, my husband said and pointed at the child. I smiled and watched as the child looked around with amazement in her eyes. She looked like someone who didn't say a lot or just refused to talk, and I left her like that to talk to my husband aside. He told me that the child had told him that her parents were dead. She was just 5 years old and was running from the person that was in charge of her because he kept hitting her. I felt pity for her and wanted to adopt her immediately. I wanted to show her the love she had never had before, but she was gone as soon as my husband and I got back to the dining room. She only ate the food my husband had put in front of her and left a messy table behind. She left the door open, and as soon as I ran out, I saw her at a distance walking away. I yelled as loud as I could to call her, but she did not budge and didn't turn around. I went back inside and noticed that my husband had blood all over him and was stuck to a chair he couldn't get up from. There was broken glass on the floor, and the more I tried to get him off the chair, the more he winced in pain. She put glass on the chair because she knew one of us was going to sit on it. She didn't come to us so that we would feel she was cute. She came because she wanted to injure someone. Damn it, this is not what I need right now, my husband cried. I felt betrayed and immediately wished that I did not want children so much. If a child could have thought of that, it was clear that the mind of such a child or any child was capable of thinking or doing much worse. I apologized to my husband and waited for the 911 call I had placed earlier to arrive. The same men who were in the team that we called earlier came again and were shocked at what they saw. They made jokes about it and said it was clearly not our lucky day. I didn't know the name of the child and I couldn't find her. I knew she also needed help, but I was willing to deal with her no matter how much it took from people to call me mean. If as a child she could do that, she was going to do much worse if the act was not curbed.
Hey, let's talk about something a lot of us deal with, thinning hair or hair loss. If that sounds familiar, CAPS has solutions. Their hair restoration treatments are personalized, designed to strengthen your existing hair, encourage regrowth, and improve scalp health. The providers at CAPS guide you every step of the way with advanced treatments for noticeable, long-lasting results. And when you book your first hair restoration appointment, you'll get a $50 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Book today at experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
I promised myself to find her and help her in the best way I could before she was going to do it to another family. I entered the car with my husband and headed for the hospital with the officers. We should have sat down to eat the chicken at KFC. All this could have been avoided, I made a side comment. My husband laughed and squeezed my hand.
Good news! Goodwill Columbus has opened a new store in Westerville. And with a new donation center, it's easier than ever to make a difference in your community. Bring your gently used clothing, furniture, electronics, and more to our donation drop-off. Each donation and purchase supports our mission to provide jobs, free job training, essential services, and more right here in Westerville. Drop your donations off at 60 East Schrock Road or learn more at goodwillcolumbus.org.
When it comes to plastic surgery, expertise matters, and CAPS sets the standard. Our team includes 7 nationally ranked, board-certified plastic surgeons, from tummy tucks, breast augmentation, and liposuction to facelifts and beyond. Every surgical plan is tailored to your body, goals, and recovery timeline. CAPS is trusted for consistent, visible outcomes. Plus, when you book your surgical consultation, you'll receive a $100 CAPS MedSpa gift card. Expert care, exceptional results. Visit experiencecaps.com. CAPS, where confidence begins.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.